This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and want to thank our partners, InnovatedCompanies.com, for all their support and continued advertisement here on the show. We appreciate everything our good friend Randy Green has done for us and his willingness to step up and help us out so we can keep putting the show on. Don't forget to check out all the arms underneath the Innovated Companies umbrella. You've got your Innovated Construction team, Innovated Heating and Electric team, and of course your Innovated Heating and Cooling team, and of course the Innovated Electric team. All those arms under the one umbrella. They can help you with industrial, they can help you with commercial, they can help you with residential. Again, 35 years experience, second generation craftsman. My man Randy Green is a man of his word. He's earned an opportunity for your business. Give him a chance. Let's talk some Cardinal baseball here. Sitting down in the studio now with me is the one, the only, and in studio, oh gosh, it's got to be once a month lately at best.
Every other week, as in here, yeah. Like 2 Mondays ago.
Listen, when we did a sound check and Benji heard you on the other line, he almost fell over. So let's welcome in on the M4byYachty.com hotline, Benji Molina.
How you doing, guys? Let's do this, man. Let's do it. I'm excited for what I'm seeing in spring, man, I tell you.
Well, I'm going to ask you about spring, okay? So let's do that. Let's talk about spring training, because right now what we got is a bunch of people. Here's my thing. We got a bunch of people freaking out about Mikolaj's start yesterday. Okay. Now, listen, I'm not here to tell a fan how to fan. No doubt about it. But here's the thing. I'm even going to be honest and tell you that I'm watching it going, oh, boy. You know, again, because this is not a veteran that just had a first start of spring that's proven himself in the major leagues. Now, that being said, here's where the reality comes in for me, okay? So if I'm to believe that Mikolaj is awful because of his spring start, am I to believe that Flaherty's going to win the Cy Young? Am I to believe that Carlos Martinez is going to be just okay? I mean, it's one start. I think you can read out of a start what you want to read out of it. Benji, for the fan out there, what do you take away from a guy that gets knocked around like that in his first start of spring?
I don't take anything. I mean, like I told you before, Jimbo and Steve-O, I really worry if this was his last two starts of the spring and he's going into the season like this. Then you kind of worry, but right now they're just getting everything. I mean, he's a first start, man. It's spring training. He's getting he's coming with this high end, you know, like he needs to do something. He's probably pressuring himself a little bit. Spring training still. Come on, man. Give this kid a break. Now, if you are talking like the last couple starts of the spring and he's still doing this, then we have something to worry about. But you don't know if he's going to pick it up next outing or the other outing, and then he keeps going and he keeps rolling through the season. So this first start, nobody should worry about any of these kids, Carlos, Flaherty, anything. You know, Flaherty's different because Flaherty's competing. So I don't think Mikolaj is competing. I think he has a slot. So he's working on something, some things. But Flaherty, as you see, Carlos is working on something. Flaherty, like you guys saw, he's coming in to get in. You know, he wants in. So those kids are the ones you got to watch. But you don't have to worry about anything.
Yes, I think it's a little too early to worry about it. Like you just alluded to, that these guys get in there in the first couple of games, and they might work on, you know, a different grip on a changeup, and they might throw that more. Hey, I've been wanting to do work on a cutter and throw that, you know, and see how it's going to react in outside of the bullpen type sessions. You know, I might be working on, you know, some mechanical thing that's going to help me down the line. I agree with you, BMO. I wouldn't be real concerned until we get towards that last part of the spring training where these guys are getting ready to break camp and they want to start showing, hey, I can go 6-7 innings and this is the stuff I'm going into the season with.
I was just thinking about the way that the pitching was acting in the bullpen. And like I said, you don't have to worry about some kids, but other kids needs to make the the roster, man. They're trying. At least they're trying. I don't know. They probably have their mindset up already or made up. But that Myers kid, man, he can pitch. Hicks is having had a great outing. Some of these kids are coming to ball, man. Brevia. So we just have to wait and see, man, and see at the end of the day. We just have to wait until the last week. Whoever's pitching hot, let's take him.
Let me ask you a question. I'm you can conspiracy theory all you want and do that kind of stuff, but do you think there was something to Jordan Hicks scheduled to throw the ninth inning of the first game? I mean, do you think there was anything to that?
What I think is that they're playing with our minds. You know, like they probably heard about everybody just talking about it. And he also said it. I mean, he also said it in the interview you were talking to him that, hey, man, listen, these kids, we have some good arms in the minor leagues. They're coming out, and Hicks is one of them. So they wanted to see the ninth, maybe. That's a perfect opportunity to see how he can close out games. Or, I mean, those games doesn't mean anything that the minor leagues are playing at that time. Like I said, later on when the two weeks is up for the game, I think it's that's when we need to really, really pay attention to what they're doing, you know?
You know, we talked a little bit last week about what you look for in spring training, and you know, now here we are, you know, we have games going on. You know, you see some guys come in and do some things, and then, you know, you see some guys, you know, some guys are having success, some guys are struggling. Again, it's so hard to take what you see and try to decide, what am I seeing, if that makes sense. I mean, I hope that, you know, what I'm trying to say here makes sense. It's like, am I looking at a guy that can't do this, or am I looking at a guy that's working on something? Am I looking at a guy that's going to struggle? And again, what's going on across the diamond? Are they using younger guys? What about their guy? I mean, their guy on the mound, is he working on a pitch? Is he, you know, so there's a variety of things in play here that makes it really hard for us to really even know what we're looking at. I don't know. I mean,
how hard would be the Marlins, Jimbo?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at that. I mean, see, that's the thing, though. I mean, there's an example, though.
Going to be in the roster.
Well, that's what I mean. If you're the Marlins, I mean, there's a great example. You know, their spring training is different. I mean, their spring training is, hey, we got a whole bunch of jobs open here, guys. Somebody go out and show me why you should be the guy. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I like that,
exactly.
Kind of.
That's the way it is. But when you have veteran players and stabilized players that have been there doing that for long, like Yadi, like Fowler, like in this case, Pham, because Pham just earned it last year, Ozuna, and when you have guys like Carpenter and things like that, they got to go out and just get ready, go through spring training, take pitches if they want to, work on some things. Now, the last 2 weeks, they got to turn it up a notch and they got to go, because that's when you, as a player, you got to put your mind that they're going to be playing 5 innings, 6 innings, 7 innings, and it's a go, man. I'm telling you, for the pitching, if you need to work on something, you better talk to your pitching coach or your manager and say, hey, man, do I have this teammate, or do I have to go out there and get 3 outs? Because I don't want to work on my changeup against Stanton when I need to make a club and my slider's my best pitch. Things like that, you know, so they need to go and talk to these guys, and they got to let them know, hey, man, you got the job done, so go work on stuff, or you got to pitch. You got to get people out so we can see you better, or something like that.
Yeah, you know, and again, Steve-O, you know, you're no different than any average fan, and I know how you like to look at things. Like, when you watch a spring training game, what do you look at? Like, what do you, like, are you just excited? Number one, I know you're like me. It's just baseball's on, so I'm watching the game. Do you look for anything, or do you, when you see things, they make you then start asking questions like, are my eyes believing what they're seeing, or how does what I'm seeing relate to what I've heard about this particular player?
Nothing at all. I mean, when I'm watching spring training, or if I'm watching, you know, preseason football or anything like that, I'm simply looking at guys that are trying to get in shape. Yeah, obviously your younger kids, you want to see them show something because you haven't seen them. But your veterans, hey, take it easy. Don't get hurt. Get out of spring training healthy. All right? Let's start getting the rust knocked off. And it's a different era now where these guys play 13 months out of the year, you know, most of the time. They're out working out. They're, you know, Yachty's up still at 5 o'clock in the morning running, you know, doing stuff like that during the off season. I get it. But, you know, for the younger kids, I'm just looking for them to get in there. And you can tell things by, you know, what they're doing. Do I need a clutch hit in the seventh inning with a guy on, you know, third when we're down by one? That's not important as much as I'm looking at how the at-bat, what their approach is, things like that that's going to translate into situations later on. Bringing Hicks in the ninth.
See,
that meant something to me.
I get it.
But see what they're trying to do.
Those guys are trying to make the club, guys.
Right, but
so.
But the ninth inning versus the third inning, that's what I mean.
Exactly.
That's what I'm talking about.
But see, what I look at is, okay, they're going to give him a little taste.
You're going to face the main guys, right?
You're going to face
the number one guy. And at the end, you're going to face kind of like your guys, like AAA guys,
well,
and, you know.
And that's my thing. It's like, okay, what's more important, facing those guys or that? Or that mental, I got the ninth, you know, and that's, to me, you know, it's a legitimate question.
No, I agree. And I think you start off with, hey, you got the ninth, because that's always the big hurdle. And then I would expect him to work as the preseason goes on, to work him into more of a situation where he gets to face, you know, the big three in any club, the 3, 4, 5 hitter. And okay, now go out and work the fourth inning.
Well, here's my.
Hey, guys,
go ahead.
Believe me, when these guys figure it out that Hicks is going to go with the team or not, if he made the club, they'll change it. He won't be pitching the ninth. He'll be pitching to the real deal guys that wants to play 5 innings, that wants to play 6 innings. Those are the guys he will be facing as soon as we know that he made the club. But if he didn't make the club yet, this is the situations they got to see him at first. And then once they have their mindset up, remember, we don't have that many spots. I don't think so, right, guys? I mean, how many spots do we have in the bullpen right now? I mean, there's not many spots. Maybe one, maybe two. That's what we need to think about, man.
Well, I don't know that there's a spot at all. See, here's what I think. And this is where, again, so far to this point, you know, I think the Hicks thing is interesting only because, A, I mean, we know what Steve and I both know what we heard Mozeliak say at the dinner we were at, okay?
That's why I drafted him in Fantasy League.
I know that. So we both know what we heard. Then I see him put him in the ninth. See, my belief is they have no intention of him being on this roster coming out of spring training. What I believe is they're going to put him in the ninth and let him pitch the ninth, and then when he goes back to, if it's Memphis or whatever, or Springfield, he's going to pitch the ninth, and if he shows them, you know what, I can do this, that's when I think they say, okay, we are absolutely grooming him. See, that's what I think. Like then people would say, oh, no. What if he dominates? I don't know. To your point, you're pitching the ninth, and for a lot of the spring training games, you're not going to be facing the main guys in the ninth inning. I think it's more about the mentality.
For a lot of fans out there, Jimbo, even if you dominate and you're a guy that you're a triple-A guy right now, a double-A guy, there's no way you're going to make this roster, even if you dominate the whole thing. And they have that in their head. They don't have a spot for you, because if they try to put you in this roster, they're going to lose some guy. They got to put a guy out of the roster to get you in and things like that. So even if this kid dominates, they might not have him as a opening day roster guy. You know what I'm saying? So for the fans out there, even if these kids dominate, we saw it. We saw it with Sierra. Sierra came up to the big leagues. He hit 1,000. And what happened? He ended up being traded. You know what I'm saying? So it happens in same spring training. You can hit 800, and you think that guy haven't made, and he doesn't work that way. They already have their roster set up, you know, in their head.
Yeah, that's the other thing you think of, Jim, is when everybody, when they're doing all this, sometimes it might be showcasing the guy's talent to certain clubs. You know, there might be other general managers out there to say, hey, we'd really like to see this guy in the lineup.
Sure.
There's a lot of games that get played
that we never
that
even
we never
about.
Even know no. about.
And we and that's true. And again, for me, that was interesting. And again, like for you and I get it. It's spring training, and I approach it as such. See, for me, when I get the opportunity to watch a spring training, and it just seems like it started for me this way. Like I used to just watch because I like to watch baseball. You know, and I probably treated spring training the wrong way back in the day. But now, the more I get involved in this, and again, I'm not saying I'm any smarter, but you learn more things and you talk to more people that are definitely smarter than you or me. I'm talking about myself. There's no doubt that now I approach spring training differently. And I, Steve-O and Benji, I do watch for certain guys, and I want to see if what I see with my quote unquote trained eyes, if that's what you want to call, I want to see if what I see and what I feel compares at all to what I've read, listened to, heard about, have maybe seen before, things like that. So, you know, watching Jordan Hicks, watching Helsley, watching Mikolaj, watching all these guys, what I'm looking for is how does it compare to what I've supposedly been told, or not what I've been told that is supposedly this guy's MO, this guy's makeup. And that's what it is for me, you know. So, again, that's just kind of my...
You know what, BMO, what this made me think of, and I dazed off there after Jim's initial conversation there. What I thought about is Jim's now this big radio personality. He's following the club. I want to know why we're not in Jupiter doing the show so we can see all these guys and get to the backfields and see what they're really doing. You know, see if that ball's coming off the bat good. I mean, how do we get that done, Jim?
Well, the guy that could get that done is on the other end of the line.
Oh, we can get it done?
Oh, no, we could go, but if you go, you want to be, like, set up, right? Benji,
yeah,
right?
Man, that's why we have some owners. Are you the owner of these podcast guys?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
We have an owner. That owner needs to step up and, hey, man, we're going to fly you guys over. We're going to do this. We're going to do that, a show, a weekend at least. And get it done, man. Let's get this show on the road.
Yeah, we need
to
get there. That's the deal. We should have been down there in Jupiter so we could see these. See, Jim undersells it a little bit. He's actually a good baseball mind here, and he likes watching the ball come off the bat. He likes watching the footwork of these guys. But you can only do so much on TV. We've got to be there in person and see them practice.
Yeah,
well, you would think if we showed up down there with Benji, I mean, we would just have carte blanche of the staff. I mean, we should be able to just walk on the field and say hi to a few of the guys. Isn't that how it should go? I mean, I think we have a place to stay down there, don't we?
Hey, guys, we get there. We get almost everybody on that club to come on our show. We can record every single day. We can record a show with everybody that is going to come up to us and do the show with us, man.
All right, where do we stay? Where do we stay? We stay at Yachty's house?
Nah, well, that's a hotel in itself, but he has so many people. No, no, but I didn't say you guys need to pay. I said we have an owner. We have an owner
well,
of the club.
Well, the owner is we. Oh, so yeah, but no, Steve-O hits on something here, and Benji, for you, I mean, see, that's the thing, and that's why I love listening to Benji a little bit on this, because that's, in my opinion, that's how a catcher approaches spring training, you know, and now I know, you know, and see, that's the thing, catchers, especially the Molina family, the way they handled their jobs, and still handling it for Yachty. The catching staff and how they handle it and what they do with it is very important. But you guys are also hitters. So you're also doing that. You know, you guys are, you know, really sometimes they are and they aren't official and unofficial captains of the team, so to speak. But the way I always looked at this was for the average fan, Or even for a fan, you know, and listen, a lot of fans admittedly will tell you, look, I didn't play baseball. I don't, but I know I've watched enough games to know when I think something looks right, not right, or you know what, I'd like to learn more about it. You can learn a lot by watching spring training games as far as trying to compare what you're seeing versus what you've heard. And there have been times in the past where I've questioned, I mean, I've said it before, and I'm not saying I'm always right, but there's been numerous times I'm like, I don't see it. I don't, you know, there's been guys that have rolled through here the last few years and everybody gets all high on them. And sometimes it's because of what you read or what you hear a supposed, and see, that's the thing. We put our eggs in the baskets of these supposed media guys that are supposed to be so in tune with what's going on. And that's why I cry bullshit all the time. This is no disrespect to some of them, but some of them only know what they're told and what they see. They don't have, some people just don't have an eye for understanding that part of the game. And I'm not trying to say I'm special or you're special. There's all kinds of guys out there that see it differently. But I'm just way past the days, and I don't think any media guy would say, well, take my word as gospel. I'm just reporting what I've been told. But I think people take what the media say about a guy, and then they make it fact, or they make it, well, this is what they told us. They told us this guy was a can't-miss prospect, or they told us that this guy was a 5-tool player. I've said it 100 times over. I want to meet the guy. Okay, that told that I want all the media guys that said they watched Colby Rasmus and he was 5-tools. I want to meet him because number one, he couldn't throw a ball worth a shit. Okay, I mean you got to be kidding me with this. So
he can't be a 5-tool guy if he can throw, right? Obviously,
you got to be able to throw.
And then he couldn't hit for 300, so he wasn't a great hitter. He had power. He could run, and he could catch, I guess. That's what the only thing he did. And whoever said that, I don't know, man. He had no eyes, or I don't know. Somebody told him wrong.
Do you think the 5-tool might have been he was a mental genius? Oh, no, scratch that. He was a mental midget, wasn't he? Didn't he have all the mental issues where he couldn't – dad had to come and throw him batting practice all the time to get him out of his slumps?
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is that shit goes on all the time. The problem is they didn't handle it right. He injected himself into the situation instead of standing in the background and saying, hey, you know, I don't think guys have as big a problem with that as long as they don't get showed up, and that's what he did. And you're not, listen, Benji will tell you, the one guy on this whole planet you're not going to show up in the game of baseball is Tony La Russa. Ask Steve Klein.
No, there's no way in the world you can do that. No way. And we saw it from La Russa. He you know what he did to him. He said, man, this is the big leagues. If we allow every parent to come here and throw BP to their kid in the cage, I mean, come on, this is the big league. You should be able, you're a man, you're a grown-up man. They might have tried it a little bit. I'll tell you why. They might have tried it and see if it works and see if we can get this guy to be a superstar. But it didn't work. He was the same guy. So why try it like that, you know? So these things, these days, these kids, the problem that we have these days is that they believe, and there's so many people out there, right, smelling their butts, telling them they're so great. From 1 to 10, they believe they're a 15 because these people have been telling them for years, you're a 15, you're a 15, guy. You got to move up. And they're really at 8. They really a 7, but nobody has ever told them straight up that they're a 7, maybe a 6. But they believe in their head, and they go out there into spring training, into a season, into a minor leagues with an attitude because they don't belong here. I belong in here. I belong in there. You're not going to treat me like that because I'm a prospect. You're not going to treat me like this or, you know, things like that. And that's a real life deal, guys. I saw it with my own eyes in minor leagues when guys are like, no, you're not going to treat me like that to a pitching coach, man. A pitcher that got $2 million, he's getting trained by this pitching coach, and he's answering back the whole time. And the mound, I have to say, step in and say, hey, man, shut the hell up. Let the pitching coach tell you what you're doing wrong, and then let's go at it. Or get the heck out of here on the mound. I don't want you in the mound anyway. But he's going to leave you in. At least listen to what he has to say, and let's figure it out. But I had to do that because I was so tired of these kids that they believe they're number 15 in all these things. But they're really an 8 and 7. man, I mean, that got in my nerve. But that's what's happening these days, you know, with these young kids, most of them.
Yeah, I'm enjoying spring training for, you know, what you see. I like to watch the games and just really enjoy it. Number one, anytime you're in the Midwest and you can watch baseball on TV and you can tell it's sunny and warm and all that kind of stuff, it gives you that good feeling. I mean, St. Louis loves their Cardinals, so anytime it gets started with something on television, of course, and on the radio, it was nice to hear Mike Shannon and them yesterday when I was driving home. But, you know, the thing for me is it's about, again, I'm not a big veteran guy now in spring training. I love watching the young guys. Boy, did Garcia absolutely murder that baseball the other day, too, for a home run. Gee, many Christmas.
Another minor league pickup of mine.
Oh, here we go. I tell you what, this guy's going to be applying for a GM's job at the major league level here soon, Benji. He's almost too big for our show.
Oh, man, it's crazy. But these kids can play. I mean, he's shown he's getting comfortable. He probably was told that he made the club as a backup. And, I mean, he's just fresh, man. He wants to go. He wants to show. He can still do it. And nobody's taking his job, man. This is one of those kids that has to perform in spring because he's going to play. He doesn't get days off like the veterans. He doesn't get days off. He goes to every trip. He plays every game. And this is one of those guys that, man, you know what? What's interesting is the catching, the backup catching job, man. It's very interesting, huh? The Peña kid is really, he can really play, man. And then you have Kelly that could go to AAA and get at bats, and then you switch him out in the middle of the year. You send Peña out there to get at bats and things like that. I mean, they have something going there, man, because Peña can play.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how this whole thing's going to go. I have a hard time believing.
I don't think the pieces of the puzzle fit together, given the contracts, given who's ready for what. Yeah, I don't see how this plays out, barring injury somewhere, you know.
Well, how many spots do we have? That's the first thing.
I was talking about that specific situation. This is not a disrespect to Carson Kelly. I know he's a top prospect, and I just don't see how that benefits anybody, him being – I'm going to say this. Being a backup catcher in the major leagues, it's a different job. It's almost people are going to take this the wrong way, but it's kind of like being a DH. It's a different kind of job. You have to have the mentality to be a DH. See, some people don't think that, but if you've talked to any player that was a player and then tried to DH and said, look, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't sit on the bench and just bat. I needed to play. So there's a mental part to being a DH, whether people want to admit it or not. I really don't give a shit about your numbers if you want to tell me there isn't, because there is. And you know why there is? Because the players say there is. So I don't want to hear that shit. Number two, it's the same thing of being a backup catcher in the major leagues. It takes a different mentality to know, yeah, I'm going to be lucky to play 40 games this year. I might get 30 starts if I'm lucky, and barring injury, I'm going to appear in about 40 games and maybe get 20 starts. So that is a different mentality. I don't see how that benefits a top prospect. Again, it'd be different if it were talking about 1 year, but we're talking about multiple years here. It doesn't make any sense to me why you would do that to him this year. Now, again, there's things that are involved in this that we don't understand. Like I said, I was a little taken aback by the conversation about, you know, hey, you know, Carson feels like he's done everything. You know, not I want to say this again because I had to re-clarify this to somebody. Nobody was being a jerk off. Nobody was saying Carson Kelly was being an asshole, saying I've done. That's not the point. The point was, in a productive discussion, it's like, look, you know, what else do I need to prove at AAA? I get it. But AAA might be where you need to be for the betterment of your game, for the growth of everything involved. I don't know. I don't have a great answer there. All I know is it doesn't feel right to me to have a kid with his type of potential to just be sitting there. And I'm going to be completely honest with you and tell you, I think sometimes that backup position like that is better in the hands of a veteran. Now, again, that's just my opinion. Benji, I'll let you go first, and then Steve, you can give your thoughts on it.
I'm with you. I really believe it doesn't matter if it's Yadi or it could be Salvador Perez. What are you going to get out of backup Salvador Perez? Less because a lot of people are getting sending me stuff saying that, oh, yeah, because it's Yadi, it's your brother, and things like that. Or let's talk about Salvador Perez. I mean, he's going to play every day. They need him to play every day. So guess what? Whoever's back up from him is going to go through the same thing that Kelly is going to go through. There's nothing wrong with him going to the minor leagues and getting 200 at-bats, maybe 300. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the reason you do that is because you have a veteran player that who's still doing it at a high level, and that's the reason why you go in the minor league. If you were fighting for a spot or something like that, yeah, I understand him being, okay, I need to be up there. That's all right, but you have a guy who's already signed for 3 more years. Another option that he has, and we discussed this a lot, the show earlier, I mean, the past show, the other option is call your agent. I mean, I don't want this to happen. I'm just saying that's your options. If you don't feel like you have done everything in AAA, call your agent and say, hey, man, I want out of here because I have everything proven in AAA. I want to play in the big leagues, and Yadi signed for 3 years. Call your agent and say, I want to be traded. That's another option. There's nothing wrong with that. And the Cardinals needs to deal with that, you know, obviously, because the kid is good. It's all right. He's not proven yet. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it confused. He's not proven in the big leagues, but he's done it in AAA, what, 280 or something? All right. And if he feels like he's done a lot, that's all right. But you know what, man? You have the options of calling people and say, get me out of here then. If not, like I said before, if I were him, I would just keep it down and say, hey, man, I'm going to try to learn from Yadi, right, you know, as much as I can, and go to AAA and learn and catch and play 200 at-bats and games and all that stuff, you know?
Well, we just seen it play out in the NFL with Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo. Same type thing. I mean, the club's looking at this kid coming in and replacing, and because Brady is an anomaly playing at a high level at age 40, which Yachty's the same way. He's 35 years old, going to be 36 years old, right? And he's still playing at an all-star level catcher. And that is so rare to have that all of a sudden we find ourselves in uncharted waters. And Perez doesn't necessarily have that over in the American League because they could spell him a little bit more with some DH and still keep him in the lineup. But the fact of the matter is...
I was just giving an example just because everybody thinks because I'm saying it because of Yadi. So it could happen to Buster Posey if he didn't play first.
Exactly.
Who's gonna play behind Buster Posey? Nobody.
Right.
Everybody's going to get 20 starts if he plays... If he doesn't play first, he's going to get 20 starts behind the plate, like Hundley or whoever it is, Nick Hundley. He's going to play 20 games because Buster's going to play 140. But in this case, Buster plays first. So it's different. But it could happen in there too. I mean, I'm just saying an example of a nice kid that needs to go to AAA and play, you know?
Absolutely. And I think behind the scenes, I think you're looking at something to, you know, obviously Kelly's right there ready to go. In his mind, I mean, I think we're all in agreement that we would have loved to see a little bit more out of him last year when he did get those opportunities. So does it come into a situation where, you know, if there's an injury, let's say, to Yadi, that they're in a good situation, but B, if there's an injury somewhere else in the league to where they might be able to move Carson Kelly and get, you know, some prospects back or some immediate need back that they need right now, that's always an option.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why people are making this big I don't know. I mean, I know the kid can play. I mean, I saw him myself when he got in as a third baseman. I saw him, and I said, man, this guy is going to be special. Well, the only thing in my head that I don't understand much is that they haven't worked him as a first baseman and as a third baseman to have him get at-bats up here when he's up here for a backup. Maybe let him play first. Maybe let him play third because he's done it in the past. He used to be a third baseman. So I wonder why they haven't done that, having Yadi here. If Yadi would have left to somewhere else and then he had the opportunity to catch, it's perfect for him. But well, Yadi's still here.
Well, I
and
can
he has 3 more years. So he has to look at him and say, hey, listen, this is Yadi's club right now. Let me take as much of the opportunity I can. If they send me to AAA, I'll get my at-bats. I'll work my butt off to be up here, and let's see what happens. But you can't be mad at that because you have somebody in front.
Well, I can tell you why I think they haven't played him at first or third. And again, some people aren't going to like this. But did you see those swings last year at the major league level? They weren't very good. So this guy's got a long way to go as a hitter. And people are going to say, what are you talking about? He had home runs and hit 280 and tripped. And I'm, okay, I hear you. But I'm telling you, the guys that are a lot smarter than the rest of us saw the same things that we saw up here at the major league level.
And that's what we talked about.
And that's not saying he's terrible. What that says is he's not at that level because he's a hitter. Okay, right. So you're not going to take at bats from what are primarily hitting positions in the lineup. His number one thing, whether people want to admit it or not, is the fact that he is going to be really good defensive catcher that has potential to hit, not a can't-miss hitter that's a good catcher.
Right, and that goes to the whole thing where they talked about he's ready for the next step because he needs the next step to prove what he can do because he can hit down in spring in AAA.
But 280, man, or something like that, whatever he hit. If he hit 340, 330, 320, even 310, I would be like in awe, like, okay, man, I mean, he had nothing to prove. But 280, what does that translate in the big league, guys? Most of the time.
No, 220.
Not all the time.
Well, listen.
But what does that translate in the big leagues? Of course it's less than 280, man. Why do people want to put a AAA guy that hits 310 into a big league club and they think that they're going to hit 320 or 310, man?
Well, here's the thing.
It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't.
And I also know this. I'm not dumb. I mean, hell, there's guys that hit 260 in AAA, and then all of a sudden they mature and they figure it out and they do better in a bit. It happens. That wasn't my point. My point was this guy is a catch first, hit second guy, and that's why they're not going to move him to another position now. That's the whole reason he got moved out of the infield is they thought, you know what, his value would be if we do this. Because he has the potential to hit, we'll see what – listen – we're so far away from trying to figure out what Carson Kelly is going to be and not be and where he is. Like I said, I just brought it up because I just don't see him being the backup catcher at the major. I don't see it being a fit. So, hey,
well,
listen.
Can I say something, guys?
Sure.
I just want to say in defense of Kelly, because I don't think it's fair to compare his last at-bats of last year. I mean, he's just been sitting down for so long in the bench. And then all of a sudden, Yadi gets the concussion. You got to strap it on. You go. And then you have just a few games to show that you're okay, that you're good, and you got to show your skills. It's not fair to him. That's not fair. What is fair is that he didn't show being rested, okay? Being rested and being trained, because those kids train hard. He showed he wasn't ready in those games. It wasn't like he came in and killed it, right? And then you have an open mind and say, oh, wow, he killed it, so he may be ready. But he didn't come in those games and kill anything. So, but you know, defending him a little because it's true, those last games, man, you're ready to go home. I mean, you're not making anything. You're just trying to show, and you're putting pressure on yourself. You haven't played in so long. I mean, it's hard, man. It's hard. But going back to him and AAA hitting 280, I mean, that doesn't even get you to the big leagues when I was playing. You know what I'm saying? That's how hard it was when we were playing in the 90s. And I mean, 280 doesn't even get you. But anyways, he's a good athlete. He can play. He can catch. He can throw. I don't know about receiving. I already told you this before, Jimbo. But I don't know about receiving. I don't know about calling the game either. So,
well, that's the big thing.
We don't know that.
Sure. That's what he can learn a lot from Yadi at being at this level. So, listen, if you want to go with that being as important as anything, I'll go with that. No argument here. If that's what you feel is the next step in the next phase in his growth is to be here and basically sponge off of what you have going here. I mean, let's face it, you've got Yadi and you've got a manager that, whether you like him or not, was a very good defensive catcher and understands the position I mean, again, you cannot like him. I don't give a shit. That's your prerogative.
Well, sit down in the living room, get a beer, get a soda, get a juice, watch baseball, and ask yourself who gives you the best chance to win.
Well, yeah.
And what are we trying to do here? And then your answer will be a lot easier.
Well, yep, I hear you. So, well, hey, listen, we're going to be watching spring training games and trying to get a little smarter. We want to remind everybody to check out twobirdsonabat.com. It's our website. You can listen to the podcast there. Subscribe to the podcast. It's absolutely free. And, of course, do your shopping on Amazon through there for us. We get a small referral fee. Doesn't cost you anything. You just click the Amazon banner, and away you go. On your mobile device, you scroll down to the bottom. On your computer, it's off to your right. Like I said, once you click it, you're done with us. Find us on Twitter. We love the exchanges on there. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. Our big ask of you is to type in Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook. That's where we need some help, folks. Type in Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook. Like the Facebook page. Then you're not done. We need you to click invite your friends. Scroll through your friends list. Click invite on all your friends that you know love Cardinal baseball. We'd love to have them a part of the community and the discussion as well. You can find our new group on Facebook. It's just simple, Birds on the Bat. If you want to join, just click and then we'll accept you, as long as you're a Cardinal fan. And of course, Instagram, we know people love Instagram. You can simply type in Two Birds on a Bat Show there as well. Lineupmedia.fm, we appreciate everything they do for us, the fastest growing podcast company on the planet, soon to be releasing Yo Radio. You're going to want to check that out. And again, they take your entertainment time very serious, so make sure you check them out. Our producers, Andrew Allen and Brian Kroc, all they do for us behind the scenes here at lineupmedia.fm, we couldn't do the show without them. But we do. We want to tell everybody how much we appreciate everything you do for us. Sharing the show around, jumping in on conversations, telling people about us means a lot to us. All of our social media partners mean so much to us here as well. We sure hope that you guys enjoy them. Some of these guys do such a tremendous job. Starts with Nate McHenry, RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page. To learn more about the Rally Squirrel Club, you can type in RallySquirrel.com in Google, and you'll find out about the Rally Squirrel Club for less than the price of a cup of coffee. You, too, can be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. Very happy to be a part of that for the Monday Premium Podcast with Nate. Mick Light, Art City Sports, everything he does, ever since he's jumped on board, the show's really went through the roof. He just reaches so many people with his wonderful page, so appreciate him as well. Shout out to my friend and everybody's friend in Cardinal Nation, Chris Lawless, and everything he does with Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7. Again, he does a tremendous job, and we appreciate him and all the support he shows our show, and we're happy to support him as well, as he's got all kinds of great things coming up, and you'll see more from him, I promise you. Cardinal Freaks, of course, our Cardinal Freak, of course, been with us for a long time. St. Louis Cardinals fans unite, and the newest everything STL Sports. Thank you guys for sharing and always being a part of Two Birds on a Bat. As we leave you guys here, we encourage you to watch the spring training games, listen, but watch them with the eye of a person or the ear of a person that just loves Cardinals baseball and wants to learn a little bit more about the guy you're watching. I think we all know, and I was laughing about it to myself yesterday, and that's kind of why we talked about it today. You could see Twitter, you could feel Twitter wanting to explode over a guy's first training start, but some people couldn't help themselves, but others said, you know what, that I was expecting to see stuff from, it's one start, let's not go crazy here. So good for everybody on that, and of course, happy to be a part of all the Cardinal talk here. For Benji Molina on the M4byYachty.com hotline, and of course, my good friend Steve Flowers, we are Two Birds on a Bat. Let's go, Birds!
Go, Birds!
Go, Birds! Go, Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.